It's going to be a good morning today. It's already been good. We're excited about today. It's that time of year when a lot of people are traveling and on vacation, and Jenny and I have been as well. We went to the beach this week. I know we had to suffer for the Lord a little bit, but it was our 29th wedding anniversary, so that's pretty cool. So we were talking back, you know, a few months ago, and sharing that we were going to be gone. I needed someone to preach, and I was talking with Jose, and he's like, "Man, I would love to do that." And if you haven't met Jose yet, he's done announcement a few times. Buckle up and hold on, okay? I met Jose a few years ago. God has led him and his family here, and he has served as a campus pastor for a ministry before, so he's got ministry experience. He has been helping us with our life group. So if you're a life group leader, you've heard from him because he's been checking on you and helping us get our life group structured a little bit. And he's just been filling in, helping as needed, volunteering in various ways around the church, serves in our children's ministry as well. And so I'm excited for him to share with you today, for you guys to get to hear from someone other than me. I love that we have so many talented and gifted people in our church. So often you get to hear from our elders. Today you get to hear from Jose. I'm just excited for that. So would you all welcome him as he comes up to share the message and continue this series with us?
Check, check. There we are. How are we doing this morning? Awesome. Mike is just taking, I was like, Mike, you just keep on rolling, man. Like, oh, we'll back clean up here. No, I'm super excited to have the opportunity to be here and to share the message this morning. It was kind of a funny ordeal that we were sitting down with Mike and Eugene, and you know, it came up that, you know, he had a blank spot here where somebody was having the opportunity to preach and teach, and I was like, put me in. And they're like, we're just kind of joking with you. I'm like, well, I'm ready. and so this is something that, man, I really love to preach and teach. Like, you know, being used for the kingdom is something that, man, really speaks dear to my heart. I love the opportunities to do that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Like Mike said, man, I've thoroughly enjoyed my opportunities to be down serving in our kids ministry and just being able to shine the love of Christ on them and with them. And so, man, I told Mike, it doesn't necessarily have to be preaching. I do love that. I feel like that's kind of in my wheelhouse. But at the same time, I just want to be used by God. That's my heart. And wherever that is, I'm down to do it. So this morning, I'm like, man, here we go. Let's get it. I'm excited. So like Mike said, we are in a series called The Seven Words to the Seven Churches. And I don't know about you guys, but I have thoroughly enjoyed this series. Oftentimes, I know for myself, man, I can just blaze through Revelations. Why? Because it's like towards the end of my Bible plan and I'm getting it. Like we're getting it done, checking that off. And so I get excited and I oftentimes will blaze through and, you know, I read these letters, but I don't exactly take enough time to slow down and really look at it. And so that's what I've really enjoyed about this series is that as we've really slowed down and we've looked at, you know, each of these letters, it's really been meaningful to me in my life. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the Church of Philadelphia. And so I thought as we get started here, I'd like to look at a little history. We're going to jump into the Bible reading and kind of so on. We got about 2 points we're going to hit this morning. And so I didn't start my timer till now, but yeah, I'm going to make sure that I pay attention. I told Mike, he's in the back doing this, like wrap it up, guys. We got to get out of here. We're going to do that. So the city of Philadelphia was located in western Turkey, all right? And so it was about 25 miles southeast of Sardis, and it was also about 100 miles due east of Smyrna. And so it was a small town. What was cool is that it was perfectly located right in the middle of the trading route. And so it was a prosperous city. It was known as a town for its festivals, for its games, as many were in that time. And what was neat was that it actually had vineyards that were pretty spectacular, okay? Like, so much, in fact, they rivaled those that were found in Rome. And Rome was like, we can't have this. Like, nope, that ain't gonna happen. So what did they do? Rome went in and used their power and their might, and they just tore every bit of them out. Like, they just ripped them up by the roots, and they were gone. So that was pretty tough for Philadelphia. Another thing that really was a hardship for them is the earthquake that hit them in 17 AD. And it was so bad. Wrap your mind around this. So bad. Again, you're being ruled by Rome, who's all about power and might and just, yeah, iron fist. It was so bad that they didn't charge taxes to Philadelphia for 5 years. Like they said, you guys, man, it's been rough on y'all. You get a break for 5 years. On top of that, they were located right on a fault line. And so being that that was the case, you could imagine what that meant after having an earthquake of that magnitude. They had a lot of aftershocks. And so it really made the people fearful. And so a lot of the people moved out of the town because if they survived what had just taken place with that kind of an earthquake, they were like, we're getting out of here. Like, we're pretty scared. So Philadelphia is the sixth church in which the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. And again, like I talked about earlier, it's found in the book of Revelations. Oftentimes, you know, people will say the book of Revelations is the book that's like the end of times, apocalyptic. And yes, it does speak about the end of the world, but it also speaks about the beginning of a new and perfect world. And that's what I love about it so much. So let's jump right in. You're going to have the scripture here on the screen. I meant to welcome those of you that are watching online. Super excited to have you guys with us. But let's jump in and let's read Revelations 3, 7 through 13. It says, "Write to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one closes, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied me. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan." Now, if you remember back a few messages ago, we also read about the synagogue of Satan, right? And just a refresher quickly, the synagogue of Satan is pretty harsh words here, because it says, who claim to be Jews but are not, but are lying. And so those are the people that were like, we're all the way the descendants back to Abraham, right? Like, we've been following the law, we've been doing it, like, but what they did was they missed the whole fact that Jesus came and was the Messiah, and he died and he rose again. And that is the doorway for us to now go through. And so that's why such harsh words are said here of the synagogue of Satan. He says, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Church of Philadelphia, it's one of two churches in these letters that is not corrected. You notice that? You remember from a few messages back, there was one more, and it was the Church of Smyrna. It's actually commended for keeping its faith. You know, Philadelphia, like I said, it was located on the main trading route, so there was a lot of activity. There was a lot of people coming through, and I think that was what had to do with the reference to the open door. Gave them a tremendous opportunity to meet with people and just share the love of Christ. The other thing that was going on with the Church of Philadelphia is that as Christians, they were being persecuted. And it was not just from the Romans. Like, yeah, that was happening. But it was also from the synagogue of Satan, right? The fellow Jews that said, hey, we're following the law and you're following the guy that we don't believe in. And so what was happening there is they were being turned in left and right by even family members, brothers and sisters that they've known their whole life. And it was tough on them. They were having a lot of difficulty. And so it was tough. And so what they had was they had a list. And so if you were on the Jewish list, Rome recognized that as you don't have to pay homage to Caesar. Like, you don't have to worship Caesar. However, because they were being turned in, they were being marked off the list. So not only would they go to their normal places of worship with the regular Jews, they would be shut out, not allowed to come in. But then when the Romans came through and they looked and they're like, oh, you're not on the list anymore, then they were being hunted down on that aspect as well. So it was a super difficult time for the Church of Philadelphia. Like they were getting hit on a lot of different fronts, and it was tough. And so you can imagine that when this letter came in, like it had to be a huge shot in the arm. Like just get them fired up. Like, man, it's worth it. God loves you. He sees you. He's taking care of you. You're not alone. I'm not going to allow you to be snatched from my hand. I'm still giving you the open door so that you're having the opportunity to meet with people that are coming through your streets and buying and doing all these different things, and you're having a chance. I'm going to continue to give you that chance to preach the gospel. Don't be disheartened. The other thing that's really wild is that, you know, I when I think about the Church of Philadelphia, I'm like, oh, this probably was a pretty big church. You know, as a matter of fact, it's one of the smaller ones, and it may have been 2 to 3 dozen that were meeting there. So you can imagine, not huge numbers, but yet they were still getting it done. And so they were dealing with struggles, oppressions, and conflicts. And yet they were getting the awesome encouragement from God that he's like, I see you guys. I haven't forgot you. Keep holding on. Keep pressing forward. And so we're going to jump into my very first point this morning, and it's remain faithful no matter what. Let's look at Revelation 3:10 where it says this. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. So some will say, well, I think this verse might be referring to pre-tribulation, the rapture. That could be true. I think there is definitely some grounds for that. I know sometimes we as Christians can really get caught up and, you know, like, here's the sign and this is what it means and over here and it's this and that. And for me, I know what Jesus tells us in his word, and in red letters, he says, what? He says, carry out the great commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then the second one is what? He says, go and preach and teach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And then teach them to follow everything that I have commanded you. So to me, like, I don't exactly know all about the pre-tribulation stuff. What I do know is that as a child of God, he is going to walk with us no matter what. Just like the Philadelphians that were getting persecuted and beat down, he's like, hey, I got you. And so that, to me, is far more important than trying to be like, I know when this is going to happen or I know when that's going to happen. Regardless of our circumstances, God is going to be with us because we are his children. And that's what gets me fired up. Luke 8:13, you're going to have a couple of these verses that are going to be in the Christian Standard Bible, and that was just because of trying to get them entered in and whatnot. We didn't quite have the translation that I'm going to be using here. So if you're like, Jose, why are you reading this like this? I love using different translations because it helps me and my brain really like break it down into practicality. And so that's why I want to warn you guys that you're going to see this coming. I'm going to be reading something slightly different. This is from the New Century Version, okay? And so it says this in Luke 8:13. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about the seeds from the sower, the parable of the seed and the sower. And he says this. He says, the seeds that fell on the rock is like those who hears God's teaching and accept it gladly. But they don't allow the teaching to go deep into their lives. They believe for a while, but when trouble comes, they give up. And so oftentimes life can be difficult, right? Like it can get hard. And just like what the Church of Philadelphia was experiencing, they were still holding true. And that's what I want to be encouraged by. I don't want to be like, I accepted it, it didn't go deep, and then, you know, times are going to get tough. You know, I have to think about like when someone just walks up to me and just punches me right square in the teeth because I love Jesus, what is my response going to be? Be like, bang, 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 you know, a quick 1, 2, 3, or boom, I'm going to hit you with a rear naked choke, reverse omoplata. Like, I'm laying the heat to you, right? No, that's not exactly how we should do it, even though it might be carried out that way, right? But no. How do we act when we get persecuted for loving the Lord? We need to be prepared for low blows. We need to be prepared for distractions that the enemy is going to throw at us to try to pull us off course from what is most important. Sharing the good news. Telling people, man, I understand. It's difficult. Life is hard. But God loves you, and He cares about you, and He will walk with you as His child. Those are the important things. I'm so grateful that Jesus walks with me in those moments. Because I have them. I'm no different than you guys, any one of you. I put my pants on every day. I have hard days. A lot of times people see me, they're like, man, you're fired up. You're ready to rip. I'm like, I am. I'm like, a lot of times I feel like I'm burning on nitromethane, just wicked up real hot, right? People are like, man, it's because you drink coffee. I'm like, you're right. I do gulp coffee, and I drink pots of it. But at the same time, I have been off coffee for extended periods of time. My wife, I was asking her, she said, I think it was like 2 years at one point. Guess what? I didn't change. I was still, I mean, the only thing that changed was that the coffee didn't make as much business. But, man, I love it. But life's hard. Life is difficult. And I think because I get wicked up real fast, I can really jump on the opposite side of things and get out of control quickly. I think about a story that I've talked about when I was a campus pastor, and I was in Independence, and a new restaurant opened up, and it's not there anymore. But there was people that were walking across the street, and it was kind of in a blind curve. And so Ashley and I are coming home, and I'm just cooking it, because I'm like, man, I'm 7 miles from the house. Let's get it. And so I come around the curve, and I start to speed up, and there was an ambulance parked there dead in a blind spot, and this older couple walked out, and the guy had a neck brace on, and he got a little concerned that I might have been going over 35, which probably was, honestly. And I seen him, and as soon as I seen him, I hit the brakes. Well, he starts to run his mouth, and guess what happens with me? Bang, inside. I'm like, woo, let's roll, boy. I roll down the window. I'm like, big guy, really? You got your neck brace on, buddy. Like, we're going to fix you right up. You're not going to need that where you're going. But the point in all of that is that, no, that's not how I respond. You know, Ashley's like, what are you doing? You're destroying your witness. I'm like, I don't care. Jesus will forgive me. We're getting it done, right? Like, but that was awful. And I'm glad that I didn't get out of the vehicle and I didn't bust out my kung fu moves that are like two. And, you know, like, but I'm no different. Like, I still have to ask God to forgive me each and every day. And I can be distracted very easily. And so I'm grateful that Jesus walks with me. 1 Peter 4:12 says this. This is in the Common English Version. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked that you are going through testing that is like walking through fire. Think about that for a moment. How fun would that be? As a residential tree guy, I oftentimes have big piles of brush that I carry back from jobs, and I pile them, and I'll light those things off, and man, it is hot as all get out when I get those things going. I mean, because it's stacked in there real nice, and man, it's hot. How fun is it to walk through fire? Life is full of hard knocks, and honestly, it seems like they're coming at us from all sides. I can't imagine what it was like for the Church of Philadelphia when your friend one day may be your enemy seemingly the next day, right? It's like, oh, he's not on the path anymore, man. Hey, why don't y'all come over here and pick him and his family up? Take them where they need to go. That's what was happening. The beauty of it is that God is the same today as He was for the Church of Philadelphia. He sees our struggles. He sees where I'm falling short. And He cares about us. Here's the key, though. You have to make Him the president, the boss, Lord of your life. That's where the difference is. I love it. I've listened oftentimes to a lot of podcasts and messages, and one of my favorite pastors is Matt Chandler, and he can get kind of amped up, but he has a lot of good stuff. And one of the things that really stuck with me is that he talked about marriage. And so in marriage, he's like, you can have a good marriage. You can have a good marriage outside of God, but if you want the best marriage, you're going to have God at the center of it. Because it's just going to be mediocre good at best. But if you want your life, if you want your marriage, your relationships to be the best, God has to be the president, the boss of that relationship. But He walks with us through hard knocks. I want to talk about clutter for a second. And I don't know about you guys, but this is also another area that, man, I got a lot of work to do in clutter. And so I did a simple Google search, and what I found interesting was that for whatever reason, like us as human beings, we just have a lot of stuff, right? Like it's just, wow, where did that come from? I don't know. When did you get that? I'm not exactly sure, but it's there. And so my mindset is I grew up the oldest of six, okay? So like we had exactly what we needed, but we didn't have a lot. And so as I've gone through life, like I've worked hard and I've accumulated some things and man, I really like to really hold on to those things because man, I bought that with hard earned money. And so, well, Ashley, on the other hand, my wonderful wife, she's like, just pull the big dumpster up from Grayson Millwork. Just pull it in there, recycling, right? Like, let's just dump it in. She talks about wanting a vacuum that's like the size of the world, just comes in there and sucks it all up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? However, there is truth to the fact that, yeah, I definitely have some clutter. And so again, looking at Google, I thought this was interesting. It says, a messy room will make you more likely to eat a chocolate bar than an apple. Interesting, right? I mean, yeah, it depends on the chocolate, right? Those with extreme clutter are 77% more likely to be overweight. Wow. My point being is that clutter in our lives will absolutely affect us, not only physically, but spiritually. There are good things in our lives that may need to go and hit the highway as opposed to staying where they're at, because it could be keeping us from what God really wants to do. And I know that really hit me. I was like, wow. John conveys the words of Christ to the church of Philadelphia, and he says, hold fast to what you have so that no one will seize your crown. His point is this. We should stop holding on to the wrong things and instead hold tightly to the promises of Christ. So I want you to think about, what are some things that maybe you have in your life that might be clutter, that are holding you back from what God's trying to do? Moving to my last point. Hold on. Jesus is coming back. Yes. Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. So awesome that as believers we have the promise that Jesus is coming back. Like that excites me so much. The Life Application Bible study notes say this. It says, Christians have different gifts, abilities, experiences, and maturity. God doesn't expect us all to be the same or act the same, but he does expect us to hold on to what we have, to preserve in using our resources for him. You know, the Philadelphians were commended for their efforts to obey and encouraged to hold tightly to whatever strength that they had. And so some of you might be, you know, like, I'm new in faith, I don't have a lot. Listen, hold on tightly. Hold on tightly to what God has. Use it for his kingdom. And God will commend you for it. Revelation 3:12 says this, the one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. The meaning here is that everyone who is spiritually serious is special to God. And Jesus is going to publicly acknowledge you when it comes time. And so I know when I read that, I was like, man, I want to be a pillar. Like that's something I'm like, man, I want to be firmly planted. And so I want you to think about for a moment, what does a pillar mean to you? What pops into your mind? I got a picture that I'm going to put up right here in a second. And I want you just to look at that. That's gnarly, right? Like, that's huge. That is big time. That actually came because I was like, man, what could I use as a pillar? And I'm like, you know what? There's something really cool that, not really cool, but that has recently been in the news, and it was actually very tragic. But what the pillars represent is really cool, is what I'm getting at. And this is coming from the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Some of you have drove across that bridge, and the Dolly cargo ship had a little bit of failure, and it ran over and hit that steel superstructure. But what's left, look at that. What's left is the pillars, the concrete pillars, all the way down the bridge yet, on both sides. My point being is that pillars are important. Pillars are needed, or that whole bridge would be completely wiped out. Again, I did a quick Google search, and I was like, meaning of pillars, and I looked that up. And so there's different meanings and uses. You have architectural, you have symbolic, and you have metaphoric. And I'm going to read those to you. And so the architectural is, pillars are large, they're solid structures that provide support for other structures by distributing weight from the roof or the ceiling. They can be used to make buildings more attractive and to display monuments. Symbolic, the symbolic meaning of pillars can be symbolize stability, strength, permanence. In Hebrew and in Christian traditions, pillars of fire and smoke can represent the presence of God. And a broken pillar can symbolize death and mortality. Metaphoric, in the Bible, the term pillar can be used to describe someone who is strong, who is stable, indispensable to a community. I think about Samson, right? Just, wow. Some characteristics of a pillar include being dependable, faithful, humble, ready to answer for their beliefs. Someone might be described as a pillar of strength, and that indicates reliable and supportive. Again, I go back to my point of wanting to be a pillar. Like, those are things, wow, all the way across the board, architecturally, symbolically, metaphoric, you can see pillar is strong, firmly rooted in the ground, firmly planted, not easily moved, tossed around by circumstances or life is hard. Like, there's moments where you'll see a pillar and you'll see like a gouge. What happened there? Something hard came against that thing, right? And it lost a little skin, and whatever hit it lost a little skin or something, but guess what? It's still right there. Might have a slight lean, depending on how hard the hit was, but it's still there. Jeremiah 1:18 says this in the Good News Translation. It says, "Listen, Jeremiah, everyone in this land," I want you to note the people on this list, "kings of Judah, the officials, priests, and the people will be against you. But today I am giving you strength to resist them. For you will be like a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. They will not defeat you. For I will be with you to protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." It's awesome to me to see how God reaffirms his child, Jeremiah. I ask you to pay attention to that list, because when you look at that list, there's some pretty big-time people on there, right? Like, I would say we got presidents, we have senators, we have pastors, and then we have high-ranking people. Just regular people, friends, family. And he tells Jeremiah they're all going to come against him. And at times, we're going to have to really stand up for our faith. It's going to be difficult. To follow God's way can be hard. It's not always easy. But just like Jeremiah, we have the promise that God's going to be there and we're not going to be overcome. We just need to keep following him. You know, for Ashley and myself, over the last 4 years, it's been pretty difficult. We lost our church family. We were heavily invested. Man, I literally, you would have asked us, we would have been there till we died. It's verses like this that have helped us get through that. Life's hard. And that's why I tell you, man, I'm no different than any of you guys. I always tell people when it means something, if you don't get emotional, then I would question that. A lot of times we block it and we're like, man, I'm just not going to tap into that, you know? The world says you got to be tough. I didn't come up here and plan to get emotional about that part. I've gone through that part. I've studied that part. I can't count how many times. But it's hard. When it seems like the world's against you and all the odds are against you, it's easy to cave in. It's easy. To not do what God's called you to do. When it looks like you might lose everything. But just like Jeremiah, God says, man, I got you. These 4 years have been hard. A verse that I've held tightly to is Hebrews 13:6. He says, therefore, we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Amen. That's something that I've really leaned into hard. It's been difficult. But God has been faithful. And where I am today, I wouldn't have been 4 years. If I would have stayed where I was for 4 years, I wouldn't be here today. I love Jesus more today than I did 4 years ago. Why? Because my journey has continued to keep going. You know, the enemy tried to upend me by not following what God called me to do, by making tough decisions. It's hard. It is difficult. But I can promise you that just like Jeremiah, God has walked with us every step of the way, and he's given us the strength to keep pressing on. 1 Timothy 3:14 through 15 says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. Here at Cornerstone, what I love is that over and over again, we see Mike talking about, man, you know, being a Christian is not always the easiest thing. It's going to be difficult. We're going to have hard things that come and hit us. And the importance to having a solid foundation around you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have awesome friends that were encouraging me and saying, dude, God's not done with you, man. We don't understand exactly what's going on. Look at Isaiah, right? Like, he's like, man, what's happening? I'm ready to be put in. God's like, not yet. And so having those friends around me are what really have helped and encouraged me to keep pressing on. I ain't got a lot of time, but early on in my life, I was raised Mennonite, so it was very religious, a lot of, you know, do's and don'ts, you do this, God loves you more. That was my understanding of it, and I was in trouble all the time. Like, I was a problem kid. I was jacked up, extreme Mountain Dew is what it seemed like. I mean, I was getting around, just getting it. So I was always getting my hind end tore up, and it was not a good day for me. And so my understanding of God was that he is so frustrated with me, he's so aggravated with me because I can't keep getting it right. That, yeah, I'm a done deal. And so I turned and went far from God. I was like, I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to do what I want to. This is going to be Jose's life. This is how we're going to roll. And I went down that path for a number of years. And I just felt empty, broken, dejected, couldn't have enough, always reaching, but couldn't quite grasp it. And it's because I didn't have people in my life that loved God, that were like, you know, I understand we don't always understand what's going on, but I'm going to tell you right now, God has a plan for you. And sometimes you just got to trust Him even in the hard stuff. And so I'm grateful to have the relationships that I have now to encourage me to be able to walk through the hard times that we've gone through over the past 4 years and to know that God is still faithful. And sometimes following God doesn't always go the way everybody else thinks it should go. And that's okay. You know, I fully believe they were following what God was you know, telling them, and that's fine. But sometimes we have to go a path that it is a little bit less traveled. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what we've learned in it. Is God is faithful. He's not let me down. He's right with me. And I'm super thankful for that. And so whatever it might be for you in your life, what is the clutter? I want to go back over those. What is the clutter that you may be holding on to that God needs you to let go of? He needs you to move those boxes out of the way so He can put another row of concrete blocks in there. That way you can be a solid room for Him. What is it that needs to be taken out and dealt with so that you can be the solid pillar that God wants you to be? It might be leaning on you right now, and it might be trying to make a scar, but it needs to be moved so that you can be the pillar that God would have you to be. You know, as we close here and the worship team comes back up, that's what I love about Cornerstone is that, you know, listening to Mike, listening to the elders, the heart behind it is that we want to be a church that helps change our community and helps change the world. That's what's amazing. Not a church that just sits here and everybody just comes in on a Sunday and then we get ready to, you know, rock and roll on Monday. But no, we want to be a church that's here to help our community. And that's what I want to do. I want to use the gifts, the talents, the ability, the heart that God has given me to help other hurting people in my life that God allows me to cross paths with. Use my experiences to help encourage people to step out. God will be faithful. He will absolutely walk with us each step of the way. Will you guys pray with me? God, we come to you right now and we thank you just so much for your goodness and your love and your faithfulness. We thank you for the letter that you wrote to the Church of Philadelphia and for us to have the opportunity to just read about they didn't have it all peaches and cream, God. But they were digging into you. They were holding fast. You saw what they were going through, just like you see what we are going through today. And you were faithful to help them continue to run the race. So, God, I pray that for us in our lives, we would be able to have the faith to remove the clutter so that we can be the pillar that you would have us be for your kingdom. God, I pray for anyone here that, man, they've been on the fence. They're not sure if they want to make you the Lord of their life or the president or the boss of their life. God, I pray that right now that they would just know without a shadow of a doubt that's the best decision they could ever make. And I pray that they would feel your presence and have the courage to say, yes, God, that's what I want. I'm asking you right now, Lord, to come into my life. Forgive me for the things that I have done wrong. I believe that you died, that you rose again, and that you are making a new home for me in heaven. And from this time forward, God, I just want to live for you. I just want to have a relationship with you. And you're saved. God, we thank you so much for just being such a good God. You haven't changed like the time from Jeremiah to now. You're still the same. You still love us. And I'm so thankful to be your child. I pray that you watch over us. You protect us throughout the rest of this day. Please help us to have an awesome week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've made a decision, I would encourage you guys to mark that down, to let somebody know. There will be an elder over at the cross, if you want to continue to pray and just you need someone to talk to, I would encourage you to do that. I hope y'all, like I said, have a great week. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here and share this message.